All right, for those of you who have been with us for any length of time, you know that Reverend Ted Pike has for a long time, many, many years, been fighting against so-called hate laws or anti-hate legislation, which would quite literally open the door to the end of freedom of speech in the United States and freedom of thought, because it would be abused, misused, and utilized to suppress anyone who would question a certain group, a special interest group we call Zionists and Zionism, that would cause them to come under any more scrutiny than they are. That's to put it mildly. There are many other issues involved with anti-hate laws which are wide open to misuse and misapplication. The courts would be full of federal lawsuits before you could count to 10. I mean, it's totally bad legislation. One needs only to watch and see what has happened in Europe and other countries where the Zionists have succeeded in passing anti-hate legislation, and the catastrophes that have occurred to individuals and entire cultures and societies because of this fear of speaking out, fear of asking honest intellectual, academic, and scientific clinical questions about all kinds of things in history and contemporary life. It's bad legislation. You cannot legislate morality, so to speak, and it is now literally on the floor of the U.S. Senate and has snuck in under the treasonous leadership of Ted Kennedy, and Ted Pike is back with us tonight to bring us up to date on this whole thing. We are literally at a crossroads, and there may have been some kind of a de facto sellout by the conservative right, which was opposing this so vigorously for so long. I'm confused by what I'm hearing from Ted, so let's find out. Welcome back, Ted.
Well, thanks for having me, Jeff. Yes, we've all been waiting on pins and needles for the introduction of the big federal arms bill, the Military Appropriations Act, because Senator Kennedy desired clear back at the 1st of August to attach his hate crimes bill to that legislation. And actually, some 7 or 8 days ago on Friday, he did very audaciously rise to his feet and demanded from the Senate that his hate crimes amendment be added to the Military Appropriations Bill simply as a unanimous consent agreement. It's just a high-minded thing to do, and he was wondering if he could just get away with that.
High-minded, low life. Now, President Bush, of course, has already said that he will reject the bill. He will not pass it if it has this hate law attached to it. Now, I don't know if that's something we can take to the bank, even should thinking about taking it to the bank. But where does Ted Kennedy get his marching orders? What's your best guess?
Well, I think the phrase skeletons in the closet tells us that he probably has more of them than his share, probably before Chappaquiddick and after. I think the ADL, obviously, you were mentioning the Zionists, the ADL, the Jewish lobby, is behind these hate crimes laws worldwide, and he is their front man, their patsy. They use him. He's forceful. He's articulate.
He's pathetic.
Yeah, all of those things. We don't know what kind of secret agreements, contracts he has with the ADL. Sometimes he really messes up and does an abominable job of representing their interests. Several years ago, I mentioned that on this program, how he really lost a tremendous position of advantage.
Yeah, he screwed up. Yep.
Yeah, he had it. He had it in the bag, and then he started thinking only in terms of his pedophile backers and turned his back on the homosexuals in the ADL. And I'm surprised they're still using him. But anyway, the big showdown moment came today when I didn't get to C-SPAN till 9 o'clock Pacific a.m. This morning. But already by that time, there had been several senators who had been discussing the hate bill. I don't know anything about it. I'll have to read the congressional record to find out. But anyway, there had been some back and forth about the hate bill as early as this morning. And when I got tipped off that it was on, my informant said that someone who had attempted to propose cloture or an end of discussion on the hate bill issue. Now, that's always t- top priority to people like Kennedy or Daschle or these hate crimes people. They,
right.
they don't want it. They don't want it discussed.
Right.
They don't want the
right.
The ugly naked interior of the hate bill to come before Congress or the American public. So they want to get cloture. They want to end it as quick as possible. Anyway, someone just before 9 o'clock Pacific had moved to impose cloture on further discussion of the hate bill. And that was, of course, noon Eastern time, so it was time for the lunch, 2 hours. But when they came back, it was very, very interesting. Harry Reid very piously let it be known that he had no intentions of cutting off discussion of the hate bill. He said he absolutely rejected any idea of a premature cloture being imposed on this issue, which meant so much, of course, to the Republicans. In fact, he went so far as to say that he was inviting Republicans to discuss the hate bill for the rest of the week. And boy, if I were a Republican, I would be tremendously assured by that. I would put down my notes.
Right.
I wouldn't be ready
yeah.
to fight. I'd
right.
go out and go to the lavatory or go out and have a chat in the hall or something. Anyway, today was a day when the senators were free to discuss anything they wanted and get up and sound off for 5 or 6 minutes. And
so
several more started talking on different subjects, and everybody was really relaxed. You know, we got a whole week to resolve this hate bill issue. Then suddenly Kennedy was up there like a bulldog demanding on the grave and the precious memory of David Ray, who was sodomized and finally killed himself, a homosexual. He glorified David Ray, the poor poster boy of the hate crimes, modern hate crimes movement, and demanded, he only talked for a couple of minutes, but he demanded that cloture be now invoked on the hate bill issue. All discussion stopped and a vote be called immediately.
they keep trying to tie this to the homosexual community in this country,
yeah.
and it's a canard, folks. It's far, far beyond that.
Yeah, well, anyway, it was as obvious as can be that Reid and Kennedy were in a Mutt and Jeff routine there. He was the nice guy, broad, egalitarian, civil libertarian, who was saying, we need discussion, we need counterpoint. He was actually inviting the Republicans for the next week to make amendments and contributions to the structure of the hate bill. But all the time, he was getting them relaxed, and hopefully some of them perhaps would even move out of the auditorium and lessen their numbers there. And then Kennedy came in like a thunderbolt and demanded that cloture be invoked. And immediately Reid accommodated him and said they would have a vote. Now, very, very fortunately, there was another recess. Just within a few minutes of that, they had to go off and look at Harry Byrd's new painting on the wall. And there was not
true?
A vote.
True? Is that true?
Yeah,
that's what they did?
Harry Byrd has a big painting, and all of the Senate went out to view the painting of Harry Byrd.
I see.
So that distracted them, evidently, from a vote on the hate bill.
Uh-huh.
Thank the Lord Almighty. And so anyway, after a while, they came back in, but there were a lot of other people who wanted to talk, and so a vote was not taken today.
Uh-huh.
And the vote is reserved for tomorrow. Now, that gives the American people another day. I'm not saying another full day, but at least it gives them another day to get those calls going in to the senators from your district and let them know that you will not stand for them bringing about a hate crimes bureaucracy in America, and also that you'll vote them out if they do.
It is indeed a bureaucracy. It is indeed something that we all have to take very, very seriously. We've mentioned this many times in the past, and we've also mentioned, Ted, and you have too, that they will not quit. They're going to keep coming back again and again and again.
Yes.
They're not going to give up.
Now, the other factor here, which is extremely troubling to me, is that, you see, ever since the first of the year, I kind of went out as the town crier clear back in November of last
right.
year, and you had me on a number of times.
Right.
We started drumming up calls, and we actually wanted to back down the ADL from even putting the hate bill in. But they did introduce it the first of the year, but even then it was six weeks after they introduced it before the new right leaders even made any announcements about it. Meanwhile, I had done, you know, many, many talk shows, and we've gotten many thousands of calls coming in. But Anyway, a gradually accelerating and mounting opposition to the hate bill has resulted in the last 8 or 9 months since then into a very large movement, but a very strange and as I say, a troubling phenomena is, has now developed within the hate crimes, the anti-hate hate law movement, and that is that, you see, the new right has defeated 4 major pieces of legislation this spring. It's a it's a wonderful record. The people have been moving. The people have been calling. It's been a kind of an activist's dream as Dobson and other of these new right organizations have been holding back this Orwellian agenda. But the problem is that people are getting tired. And we'll talk about that in a minute.
And the enemy knows this. Hold on. Be right back with Ted Pike. It's something we're going to have to continue to actively fight for and be alert of, alert to, and aware of. Because without your efforts and pressure on these often disappointing men and women in Congress, if this thing passes, you can say adios to most conservative, controversial, liberal. It doesn't matter. There are going to be people who are offended by all the full spectrum of talk radio and the news media, and they're going to be able to file federal lawsuits against them. I mean, it's nuts. Be right back. Hi, back with Ted Pike. Ted, just for the record, let's try and tell our listeners again what this anti-hate law or hate law would do to this country. If you can, just in a
yes.
couple of paragraphs.
Well,
it's very
important.
People don't understand.
Kennedy's bill, which will be probably voted on tomorrow, is a series of amendments to an original hate crimes bill, which was passed in 1968 at the height of the civil rights era. And what that bill back there said was that if anyone aids and abets or counsels someone else to commit some kind of a crime of racial or a bias crime against another person, crime of intimidation or assault or anything like that, that person who provided the ideas, the concepts, the prejudices and bias which this loony reacted upon in committing a crime of violence, then both of them are guilty as federal hate crimes criminals. Now, that original law didn't have the teeth to come down into states' rights in law enforcement, except under certain circumstances where there was some egregious violation such as voter fraud or jury tampering or slavery or crimes involving interstate commerce where nobody knew whose jurisdiction it was. So the problem with that original hate crimes law, federal hate crimes law, was that it couldn't really be enforced because these things like slavery were so rare and jury tampering were so rare that the government never got an opportunity to enforce that federal law. So basically, in a nutshell, what this federal law right now wants to do is to unite federal law enforcement with local law enforcement. That's why it's been called the Local Law Enforcement Hate Crimes Prevention Act. It's a way of pushing aside the local state attorney generals and saying, if we hear there's bias or a bias-motivated crime or even a felony down on the local level, the federal government has the right to come down and enforce that, indict it, even adjudicate it, and so on, in lieu of proper enforcement on the local level. And that means that every state now would, if this were passed, would have to also have a hate law, which was approved and in conformity with the federal interest in prosecuting violent hate crimes. So, in a nutshell, it's a unification of federal law enforcement with local law enforcement. And, of course, when you have no checks and balances between local law enforcement and federal law enforcement, you basically have a police state.
Correct.
Now, the other thing that this law does, it establishes a dual justice system in the United States. We have our traditional Anglo-Saxon law, which goes clear back to the Bible and so on, which says that the police have got to find some demonstrable physical reason for an arrest and certainly an indictment before they can haul you away and imprison you. But what the bias-oriented legal system, such as in Canada, says is no. If someone complains that their emotions, their delicate self-image or feelings have been hurt as a result of your words and your prejudice and your verbal violence.
You hurt my feelings.
Yeah, you see. So what this does is it says that bias becomes a criteria, not just bruises and broken glass and crushed fenders and things like that. No, bias becomes a criteria and a pretext for the federal government to come down and invade states' rights, take things over on the state level.
That's right.
So this is basically setting up a dual justice system like they have in Canada. Up in Canada, they have the same old-fashioned Anglo-Saxon law that we do, but they also have a tribunal hate crime system with hearings officers, usually just one person, who adjudicates cases in which homosexuals in particular claim that they are the victim of intimidation and prejudice.
Well, we know how something like this can be abused. We've talked about it for years, and believe me, the Zionists, if they get a law like this passed and signed by the president, they have a mountain of things right now ready to unleash. They're not going to sit around and say, gee, well, how can we use this? They're ready to go, folks.
Yeah. Well, you know, only eight days ago, when I was mentioning earlier, when Senator Kennedy tried to pull a fast one and actually just get a general consent agreement to tag on his hate crimes amendment, he justified that saying, well, the hate crimes law is relevant to the arms bill, the military arms bill, because hate crimes are domestic terrorism. Now, that means that the those 11 Christians in Philadelphia, which were indicted by Lynn Abraham of the ADL, they were domestic terrorists, just like Ernst Zundel was described by the Canadian government as a domestic terrorist and shipped off to Germany to be prosecuted under more ADL hate laws over there. So this legislation is just the very beginning of the opening of this vast Pandora's box of all kinds of legal problems and ensnarement, especially of, as I was mentioning, the original law says that if anybody provides basically the ideas that some wacko Nazi or skinhead or whatever takes and uses to commit a crime, those ideas, those seminal ideas, are enough to make the speaker or the teacher into a hate criminal equally as guilty as the fanatic. Now, if that is the case, then it means that if you are a talk radio show host or you are a pastor or you are a writer or a publisher and you have ideas that are abused, you better watch out. You'll be in the hate crimes tribunal court.
This is all no exaggeration. And when we come back, we'll talk about the coalition, the group that has been opposing this so effectively with Ted Pike's leadership and help and assistance and encouragement for a long time. And now all of a sudden, there's kind of like something going on here. It's weird. I don't understand it. Well, we'll try and make heads out of it when we come back with Ted in just a couple minutes. We'll be right back. Okay, and we're back with Ted Pike. This this issue of Ted Kennedy's treasonous, just backstabbing behavior is something that most Americans don't really want to face. They don't understand. These hate laws, wherever they have been passed, have been catastrophic. They have been absolutely antithetical to modern, so-called advanced cultures and civilizations. They are bizarre. They are literally the tools of oppression, the tools of the organization that seeks to dominate, control, subvert, and literally subject all of us to their will. And
yes.
It's nothing less than that.
Yeah. Well, the ancient Greeks began a very wholesome trend in Western society by making it legal, at least semi-legal, to speak your mind and make empirical experiments and decisions and learn from pragmatic evidence and come to conclusions, make some big dogmatic statements. Now, some people like Socrates paid for it mortally, but nevertheless, all of our science and our philosophy, our arts and architecture and so on, come from that substratum of the Hebrew and the Greek foundations of Western civilization. But what the hate bill basically does, and hate crimes laws does, is says that, no, you can't speak your mind, you can't say everything that is on your mind, because somebody might be hurt, and their delicate self-image or their feelings might be wounded and feel intimidated by your speech. So going backward, literally thousands of years into a primitive time where you cannot live by observation and cause and effect. You have to live by what other people are going to think or how they're going to react to your candid statements.
Okay, now Ernst Zundel is in prison for literally republishing a small booklet written by someone else many years ago. That's it. A small booklet that simply said, did 6 million really die? Questioning the number. But you see, that thing right then and there is what caused Ernst Zundel to be kidnapped from his home in Tennessee, extradited to Canada, finally sent to Germany, put on trial, been sentenced now to 5 years in prison after 2.5 years of his life were stolen. Most of those 2.5 years spent in solitary confinement.
Yes.
This is what is called a thought crime, a hate crime, and this is what happened to Ernst Zundel. Yeah. It happened to David Irving. It happened to Germar Rudolph. It's happened to many others in Europe who simply question history as we are being told it happened.
Yes.
Now, do you want that here in this country? That's what we're facing.
Yeah.
That and much more.
Surely we've learned something since Galileo. He looked at the universe with new eyes, with new analysis, came up to conclusions which were politically and religiously incorrect. And this is a retro back into, you know, literally hundreds and thousands of years into medievalism. If we have a universally enforced hate crimes bureaucracy. Now, obviously, this legislation comes from ADL B'nai B'rith, which is a huge, radically anti-Christian Jewish organization. They have 2,100 lodges worldwide. They have presences in 56 nations of the world. Right now, they're establishing a huge 56-nation hate crimes bureaucracy in Europe.
Right.
Called the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. They're wanting to end free speech on the Internet. They're wanting to make homophobic Christians into anti-Semites and hate criminals. In fact, ADL B'nai B'rith dominate the Department of Global Anti-Semitism, which was mandated by Congress under Bush several years ago. Now has a cozy niche, an office, and a wing in our U.S. State Department making such outrageous statements that Christians who say that the Jewish leaders had Christ crucified 2,000 years ago are anti-Semitic. And, of course,
right,
in Canada,
right.
If you're anti-Semitic, you are considered a hate criminal. And there's a very, very small difference between a hate criminal in Canada, as we know, and a domestic terrorist vis-a-vis Ernst Zundel, you see. So what they're moving toward is to pretty soon put a noose around these evangelicals, describing them as bigoted, narrow, hate criminals and domestic terrorists, also as seditionists who are undermining the wonderful relationship we have with our democratic ally in the Middle East, Israel, in our collective joint effort to end international terrorism. And sooner or later, the Knesset wants to, right now it has the privileges of demanding...
Well, they've already passed the law.
Yeah, they have the privileges of demanding from any nation on earth now the rights to demand extradition of anyone who questions the sacred 6 million figure of the Holocaust. So this is leading to a very biblical idea that apostate Jerusalem, Israel, Zionism of the end times will preside over one world government. I believe it's what the Revelation calls Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, but it's a one world system of oppression, of media control, of human manipulation and bondage. And it's frightening because, you see, 2,000 years ago, the Pharisees crucified whom I believe was the true Messiah of Israel, Jesus Christ. But for 2,000 years ago, these Talmudic Pharisees have been yearning for a substitute Messiah, a true Messiah who will give them the kind of earthly, physical fulfillment and power which Jesus only gave in the spiritual realm.
All right. Now, if the hate law is passed by the Senate, where is it in the House? Do they have to go back to committee, or does it go on from the Senate attached to the military appropriations bill or whatever they're calling it now?
There would probably have to be, if it was passed by the Senate, it would have to conference with the House, because the House did pass its own version in May earlier this year, and there are discrepancies and differences. So there'd be conferencing, but President Bush has promised to veto it.
All right, now what we want to find out when we come back is what the far right is doing about this and why there seems to have been a change in their level of interest or commitment to fighting it. I still don't understand, but we'll find out more in just a minute from Ted Pike. So what happened to this really coalesced group of people who would get on the phone, fax, email, whatever, but especially call and raise heck about this thing? Why so few calls this time?
Yeah.
What's going on? I don't understand.
As I was mentioning earlier in the program, the new right has helped alternative talk radio listeners to defeat four major bills, un-American bills, this spring. But there are two big ones remaining. That's the federal hate crimes bill we've been talking about, and also ENDA, which is called the Employment Non-Discrimination Act.
Right.
And ENDA is basically a hate crimes bill in the workplace or in your real estate or your apartment renting and so on. It's a federal hate crimes bill which makes it a hate crime, a bias crime, to discriminate in any way against homosexuals. If homosexuals come and want to rent your apartment or your bedroom apartment or whatever, you've got to rent to them according to ENDA or face federal charges, hate crimes charges. And similarly, if you're an employer, you've got to hire homosexuals. You've got to never criticize them on the job concerning their orientation, or be, you know, preachy to them, evangelical or whatever, because you'd be creating a quote-unquote hostile work environment. Similarly, you can't fire them without danger of a lawsuit and being taken to federal court and so on. Mm-hmm. And, but it's a, and it's especially dangerous because for Christians, it allows homosexuals to come into the churches and occupy all positions except the most not the most spiritual of the positions, which would include probably the pastor and the teachers and so on. So this is scaring the daylights out of people like Dobson and Family Association and so on, American Family Association. And what's happening is they are terrified that the homosexuals will come in masse down in Colorado Springs and demand to be everything from groundskeepers to janitors, occupying their positions all throughout their ministry, you see. So they are afraid of ENDA, and they should be even more afraid of the hate bill, because that's a universal ban on free speech, freedom of religion and thought everywhere. But what they've done is they are taking President Bush at face value. They're betting everything on his promise that he will veto the hate bill. So what they're saying is, we're not going to divert the energies, the tiring, nearly exhausted energies of this new right coalition anymore fighting the hate bill. We're not going to give the hate bill very much publicity. We're certainly not going to dramatize what's happening in Congress right now. We're going to write off the hate bill. Even if it's passed, President Bush is going to take care of that half of this threat. Instead, we're going to put all our eggs over into concentrating on defeating ENDA in the House of Representatives. It's supposed to come before the House even as early as this week or next week, you see. Huh. Now, what has happened here is that in what I believe is a very ill-advised strategy, they are totally neglecting the hate bill fight just at its very, very crucial climax moment when Kennedy is attempting to get a vote on it tomorrow. Go to any of their websites, go to Focus on the Family or Concerned Women for America, American Family Association, and on, you'll find a total absence now of any mention, any commentary, any warning about what's happening in the hate bill scene right now in the U.S. Senate. They don't want even people looking at that. They want them concentrating on the House of Representatives. And that basically leaves me alone out here, kind of a ghost town. I've been forsaken of all these people. Huh. I'm this voice crying in the wilderness saying, no, we can't neglect the hate bill. We've got to fight two fights on two fronts, at least for the moment. We've got to get those calls coming in. Now, we have taken three polls over the last week of the amount of calls coming in to dozens of members of the Senate, Republican members. We're finding a very low turnout, very relatively low numbers. So, on Monday, there were four senators who hadn't had a single call all day against this Orwellian legislation. And then some senators getting pretty brisk calls. Some are, you know, just moderate and whatever. But this is a tiny, infinitesimal amount of reaction and protest, which could come from the religious right if these big evangelical leaders would not have given this up and gone and taken everybody in a completely different direction.
Do you suspect more to this than simply a refocusing of their energies?
Well, it would not surprise me. The evangelicals are so naive about Mossad, Zionism, ADL, and so on. It would not surprise me if like a sieve, these ADL Zionist agents had been able to, you know, have the born-again experience, Christian Jews getting into positions of influence in these big organizations. I think that's a great possibility, and I think that just as these neocon Jews have gotten into the White House, into the Republican Party, and so on, they probably have their sights set on infiltrating the religious right and giving bad advice like this to these leaders at this crucial moment in history.
Have you had direct contact with any of these leaders, Ted?
Well, they're pretty afraid of me, just like the ADL is afraid of me.
Because?
well, because I speak the whole truth, and I'm not afraid to do that, as you well know.
Right.
And what the philosophy of the religious right, especially on the hate crimes issue, is never mention the ADL origins of the hate laws worldwide. and never criticize Israel and so on. And so they, I have implored them this week. In fact, I send my e-alerts to all of them, all the religious leaders, and I've implored them, just send out, please, send out one crucial, hot, impassioned alert now, because Kennedy could do this any time. And I get nothing but silence out of them at this juncture, this watershed moment in the history of our republic.
I don't like this, and I don't like what I'm hearing.
No.
And I'm not speaking. Look, there are people who would take. Say you're a fan of Bill O'Reilly, he'll get sued. Everyone's going to get sued under this act,
yes,
because he offends the sensibilities of all kinds of minority groups. And any of the other hate mongers on radio that are making such good money, and some that aren't. I mean, this thing is wide open for misuse, abuse, and it could bring the American media, as it is currently configured, not only to a halt, but permanently change it forever.
Oh, absolutely. That's why we've just simply, folks, we've got to get those calls going in. This is, they're practically maybe less than a day tomorrow, but if you can I give the toll-free number right now,
Jeff? Of course. Yes, of course.
Yeah. The toll-free number to your members, that's plural, members of the United States Senate from your state, is 877-851-6437. Again, that toll-free number, 877-851-6437. That's, once in a while it doesn't work. So call the toll number instead. It's 202-225-3121. That's area 202-225-3121. And just tell the receptionist or the staffer there at your senator's office, please don't vote for Senator Kennedy's hate crimes amendment. And the number on that is Senate Amendment, or SA-2067. That's Senate Amendment 2067. And also, if people would like to call more, spend an hour tomorrow morning calling all the 37 of the senators we have listed at my website, which is truthtellers.org. That's www.truthtellers.org. We have 37 members of the Senate that we consider the best bets for further calling to persuade them not to vote for the hate bill. Come to Truth Tellers, get those, call for an hour, and that's a tremendous contribution to freedom for you and your children.
And it's for all people. I don't certainly agree with much of talk radio or Bill O'Reilly, but they're part of the landscape here, and they all have a right to speak what they do. We have limits, I think, and there are laws on the books and in all the states to cover those excesses. We don't need new laws. We don't need a federal law. We don't need another bureaucracy, as Ted says. This thing, literally, if Bush were to pass it and sign it, I should say, would change the configuration of this country forever, or until something came along that would reverse the whole thing. But
well,
look at the luck we've had reversing the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
Forget
right.
it.
Well, you know, even if Bush does veto this hate bill, the fact of the matter is, one of the great reasons why we have to resist it as the American people and not let George W. Do the job is because if this bill is passed in the Senate tomorrow, it will attain stature for the first time since 1998 as a bill passed by both houses of the United
That's
States
right.
Congress.
That's right.
That's a tremendous accomplishment. Heretofore, you see, it's been defeated five different times since 1998. It has a reputation as being a hard-to-pass bill. And now, if we let it be passed tomorrow, then it is going to sail right into the new administration a year and a half from now, the 1st of January.
Well, and you know Hillary will sign it if she's
absolutely.
In.
Absolutely.
If
right.
she wins, she'll sign it in a twinkle.
And that's why the attitude of these evangelical leaders is so short-sighted, because they are basically saying, well, go ahead. We don't worry about what's going to happen a year and 3 months from now.
Because Bush will protect us.
We've got to have our quick fix now. We've got to be protected now. But but they're going to have a really hard time defeating Enda in the House of Representatives. I could practically predict that Enda will pass. And so we just got to fight two battles on two fronts right now.
Well, Ted, thank you. I'm just amazed that you're able to continue to do this. Without your leadership, I don't know, we'd been down the river long ago. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, get some rest. Good night. Ted Pike, and I hope you understood that. It's not a joke. All right, we'll be back in 21 hours, and take care. Get a good night's sleep. Have a good day tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then.